Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NFL Network Patriots reporter Mike Giardi. Mike is brought to you by Shepley Wood Products, your local Anderson Windows dealer, and by Zooty. Build any app for your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. First of all, Mike, good afternoon and welcome, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you, Dale. Always nice to talk to you. Andy, we'll just make do.
I understand.
Go make yourself.
Hey, I'm just curious for my league-wide basis first, before we get more specifically into the Patriots. It seems as though the Steelers are basically saying, we're not playing this thing this Sunday, even though the NFL hasn't necessarily made that announcement yet.
Yeah, it sort of does have a similar feel to the way the Patriots felt when the whole thing with Denver was going on. And you're, you know, as we got closer and closer, you're like, they're really not going to do this, are they? But obviously some of the numbers and maybe the concern that this is still not yet in, run its course, I think leads you to believe that even though, they've said it and we experienced it in New England when Cam Newton didn't play in that game against Kansas City, it's not about who's got it. It's just about how many and whether or not they feel like they've got it under control. And it doesn't feel like they are at that point yet.
Mike, you know I'm a cynic and I always follow the money. I have come to the conclusion that the NFL has realized sooner or later it's going to hit the fan and they're going to play a Week 18. And this game, Ravens-Steelers, would make a nice Week 18. It would make a nice tentpole game for NBC, who lost out on colossal ratings on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. Do you believe that's a possibility, that they've sort of realized there's going to be a Week 18 and maybe even 8 playoff teams?
Well, Andy, I think the entire time that this has gone on, they've felt like that was going to happen, whether they admitted it publicly or not, that there was sort of the realization that we're going to get to a period in time, which we're at right now, where the numbers are skyrocketing across the country. And though people are like, well, how can they get it? Well, everybody, there's a lot of people getting it now. It's not very easily contained, as we've seen. So I think all along they were pushing the idea of, no, we're just doing our normal 17 weeks and you got your bye and doing it. No, I think now they've gotten to the point a long time ago where I think they realized that there was a real possibility of having to extend the season at some point. But again, I think they're going to, if they can still manage it, they're going to try to manage this thing. If they feel like they can somehow get this thing in on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it may be, and then alter the Thursday game, then I think that's still their preference, is to try to continue to rack these weeks up. And, you get closer to the end, maybe you don't have to go that route.
It certainly always seemed possible to me that a non-bubble sport was going to run into these issues. And in Baltimore's case, it appears that you've got a strength and conditioning coach who just said, screw it, I don't care about masks, I don't care what the rules are, I'm going to do what I want to do. And now you see what the results are. I guess in some ways we should consider ourselves lucky it hasn't happened more than it did.
Oh, I'm totally with you, Dale, because I think if you go back to the conversations that we had over the course of the summer and early fall, I was not a big believer that this was all going to happen. And the fact that we're at this point in the season is pretty impressive. They had to alter some things, obviously, and there are teams that clearly have felt like they got screwed, San Francisco being recently, a couple weeks ago when they had to play that game with so many players out and very little practice time, if any at all. I would say that they're the ability not only of the league to sort of adjust on the fly, but I think the teams. And, look, it's not ideal. Does Bill Belichick want to have meetings in person? Yeah. Does he want to have film sessions in person? Yeah, but look, guys, this isn't normal. This isn't a normal year. It hasn't been. It's not going to be. So we just have to figure out ways to adapt. And in many ways, I think the teams that have adapted the best are the ones that are doing better than anyone else right now. And I think that says something about their operations as well.
I apologize if you don't know the answer to this, but I just generally have so much confidence in your knowledge that I'm going to ask anyway. Yeah. I still don't understand if the Ravens screwed this up. They had an employee that, you know, wasn't doing what he should do, and they can't play. How did the players agree to a system where if the game is canceled, the other team doesn't get paid either? I can see the Ravens not getting paid, but the Steelers, who apparently have taken care of their business, if this game gets canceled, they don't get paid? How does that make sense?
Well, if it gets forfeited, they don't get paid.
Right, but how does that make sense? What did they do?
They didn't do anything. You're right. And that's, I think, one of those instances where, and there are many with regards to the CBA over the years, where the owners have just hammered the players and gotten things they want. And, you know, eventually, oh, yeah, we'll give you this, but we're going to stick these other six things in here. So while you feel good about winning that one small victory, we got six on you over here that, you know, maybe they don't come into play, maybe they do, but if they do, you know, we're going to look really smart for doing it, and the players aren't going to feel real good about it. So I would just say, Andy, it's just they got whooped at the bargaining table.
Ugh.
Mike, what's your opinion on the quality of play from the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton?
More competent in recent weeks, but to me, it's not been good. And you and I, Dale, were kind of going back and forth on Twitter just about some of the things that happened in the Houston game, and in a good way. We weren't sparring with each other,
right.
But it's just, yeah, he throws for 350, 360, and Hail Mary, whatever. You eliminate that, it doesn't matter. He threw for around 300 yards, and he didn't turn the ball over, and people are like, oh, that's a good game. You know how many yards he left on the field because he can't complete simple throws, or because early in the game, Demir Byrd catches an over route, and he's got some room to run, except the ball's to his back shoulder, not his front side shoulder. So he has to hang on for a second, turn his body a little bit, and maybe in that instant, you lose the ability for him to go another 10, 15 yards. And instead he gets tackled, you know, 2 yards after he catches the ball. And it's little things like that that add up over the course of time. And I think it's one of the things that when we look at, and I know it's Brady, but when you go back and look at Brady, when he was at his best, it's ball placement as much as anything, because you're putting the ball in Julian Edelman's hands or Gronk's hands or Welker's hands, and you're allowing them the opportunity to catch it in stride and make yards after the catch. And there's so many hidden yards there that he leaves on the field every single week, especially on this, those inane, short, simple throws. Even when he's completing them, it's again like, oh, Rex has to wait for the ball to get there. Rex has to turn, James has to turn his body a little bit to the left to catch the ball. And now instead of having a full head of steam, he doesn't. And maybe he gets shoot top on the tackle. And that's all because that pass wasn't where it was supposed to be when it needed to be there. And I just think that's, to me, the hard thing that as I watch it week after week, thing that part of it's not getting any better.
I have been among those lauding Cam Newton for the way he's handled things off the field pretty much back to the summer, the press conferences, the Greg Hill show. I think over the last week, we've seen a little frustration set in. I thought, you know, after the performance in Houston, he got a little defensive regarding J.J. Watt's batted balls. And then I thought this week when Mike Reese asked him what you just talked about, the inaccuracy on short passes, he got a little defensive. Is the pressure starting to get to him? Are we starting to see him react maybe in a negative way that isn't good for his off-field persona?
Yeah, I can't, I'm not in his head, so I can't say whether that's what's going on there, Andy, but certainly based on exactly what you said, I thought he has handled the media portion of this as good as anybody that we've had come through there, especially someone in that position replacing Tom. Like the ability to handle it week after week and do it with a smile on his face and give you thoughtful answers has been something that I think everybody's appreciated. And I think that's not just like, oh, we're proud because we're the media and we're getting good answers from Cam. It just, I think in general speaks to sort of the type of person that he is and the type of a leader that he is in that locker room. But yeah, this week showed some cracks, and I hated his answer to Mike Reese. And, you know, Mike is too nice of a human being to, you know, slay him on Twitter or, you know, even point out that the answer had a little snip to it, a little snark to it, but it did. You know, like, oh, okay, so now we're at the point where we can't ask you questions when you're struggling because we didn't play quarterback. But there are plenty of quarterbacks who played who are questioning what you're doing. Right. So are they the only ones allowed, or can I quote them to you, and then that'll make it easier for you to answer? I don't know, but it certainly seemed like there was a little bit of a change this week in his demeanor with regards to that.
And I'll give Cam a little bit of advice that he didn't ask for. He needs to be careful, because he gives that answer to you or me or Doug Kide. There's one response. But I can tell you, just based on my wife's reaction, be careful how you treat Mike Reese, because I don't know if he knows it or not. He's one of the most loved men in New England. My wife didn't like it, and the grandmas, and everybody will come out of the woodwork and whoop you, Cam, if you go after Mike.
Reese is big with the grandma sect. They love him.
You're
they
damn
love,
right.
Everybody loves
Mike, so stop it, yep. Cam, stop it.
Speaking of quarterbacks and snippy quarterbacks, how do you think the relationship is between Tom Brady and his head coach, Bruce Arians?
I would imagine that it's been a little bit eye-opening for Tom, because as much as Bill used to beat on him, and it's part of the reason why he, you know, decided he didn't want to be here, and we remember the documentary and Giselle saying, oh, he just wants to be somewhere where he's loved and happy and respected. By the way, that was a nice imitation by me of Giselle.
Well done, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, no, it was top notch. I certainly think there's eye-opening to it, but I think part of what I sort of perceive that's going on with him is, like, I did this to myself. You know, like, there's that Tom at the end wasn't very willing to admit that he made mistakes here, or at least not publicly that he made mistakes here. And I think some of the body language stuff and some of the responses to questions after the game was almost like, well, you know, I can be mad that this is going this way, and that I'm struggling connecting on the deep ball. But at the end of the day, I'm the one who picked this offense, which had been made very clear to me from the time that I had my initial conversation with Tampa about free agency, that we're going to run Bruce's system. We'll put stuff in that you like, but the heart and soul of what we do is Bruce, because that's his baby. That's his ego. I'm not going to submit to you, Tom. You're going to submit to me in some degree. And I think, you know, maybe Tom thought he could influence it more. And obviously there's still some time to influence it more, but man, you watch that offense and you say to yourself, why not, with the kind of talent that they have at wide receiver and at tight end, if they went short and quick, I think they'd be pretty nasty and pretty hard to stop, you know. But you do this stuff where you're pushing a little down the field, and he's never been good at it. And I don't know why anyone thought he'd get better at it at 43. He hasn't gotten better at it for sure.
Well, just as a quick follow-up to that, I read a piece out of Tampa which suggested that Bruce Arians may be having buyer's remorse as well, that Tom Brady hasn't been kind of what he thought he was going to be.
And then I would look at Bruce and say, Bruce, well, what the hell were you watching? You know, did you not watch the tape, especially over the last couple of years, the way Tom reacted in the pocket if his internal clock hit two and a half? He put the ball in the ground a lot. He didn't not throwing the ball into the ground, not fumbling, because right. he didn't want to take the hits, and that's not how he's wired. It's not that's especially now at this point in his career. He is in self preservation mode, because I think, yeah, he wants to win. There's no question he's driven by winning, but the longevity thing is really, really, really important to him, and maybe it runs neck and neck with winning at this point. So he doesn't want to sit there and take those hits, and that's what happens when you're trying to push the ball 40, 50 yards down the field. You got to stand in there for a little bit longer, and that's not something that he's traditionally been willing to do over the last few years.
Mike, I'm going to steal a page out of one of Dale's former co-hosts' book. Michael Hawley used to love something called the lightning round. I'm going to give you a lightning round. Sure. Couple quick questions. I want reactionary gut answers, okay? Don't think,
gotcha.
Speak. Treat it like you're Andy Hart. Don't think, just speak. First and foremost, in 2021, Cam Newton will be?
A Patriot.
In 2021, Josh McDaniels will be?
A Patriot.
In 2021, Tom Brady will be?
Still in Tampa.
And in 2021, Bruce Arians will be?
Looking for a new job.
Oh, so the most interesting answer comes last. So you don't believe my friend Brian Barrett, who thinks the answer to solve a bunch of problems would be Josh McDaniels becoming the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think people forget that Josh and Tom weren't necessarily vibing at the end there. Now, look, that's an attractive job if, in fact, Bruce does get relieved of his duties, because there's plenty of talent on both sides of the football there. But I think there'll be plenty of people lining up to get that job. And then you have to wonder about, again, just hey, are you going to turn the keys over to the guy that, I mean, maybe Tom goes to bat for him. And then if you're ownership in Tampa, do you say, well, this guy's going to be around for one more year, and I got to live with the hire for years after that? Is that the choice I want to make? So I guess we'll see. I mean, obviously Tom Wheels pretty good influence because he's got Antonio Brown playing for him, and that's sort of been a turd in a punch bowl and hasn't really helped their offense very much. So maybe, but yeah, I don't necessarily buy into. I think Josh, quite frankly, I think Josh is a little bit damaged by all the stuff that's gone on between the Indianapolis stuff and now this offense, you know, struggling from week to week to sort of define what it is and how they can win.
Why is it so hard for NFL owners to hire competent head coaches? I look at Adam Gase, Mike McCarthy, Matt Patricia. I mean, horrible coaching week in, week out.
Yeah, it's got to be. It is. It's kind of pathetic. And I think when you look at the state of the league, you look at the quarterback position. I think the quarterback position is incredibly healthy right now. I think there's a ton of good young talent. I think there's a ton of talent that's in its prime. And there's even some of these older guys that are still winging it and winning football games. Rodgers, Roethlisberger, et cetera. Even, you know, obviously Tom as well. But yeah, where is the coaching tree? Where is the improvement on some of these hires and maybe some of the feeder system? I know that there's plenty of good candidates, but, you know, there's also a risk in that too. You know, the guys like Eric Bieniemy, who's I would be stunned if he doesn't get a job. He's not calling the plays there. So he helps design that offense and the players love him. But what's it look like when you're in charge? You never really know. I mean, Matt Patricia is the perfect example. Like, pretty good resume here. Now, was it Bill's defense or was it his defense? You know, and he gets his own team and he tries to act like Bill, and, you know, nobody can act like Bill, quite frankly. I'm not sure Bill could act like Bill anymore if he didn't have the resume that he had. So, it's really problematic for the league. And, you know, some of these organizations, they just keep cycling through guys every 2, 3, 4 years. And, it's one bad hire after another. And then you find a quarterback and you got a bad coach. And then it's a bad GM who wants a new GM. And now the new GM wants a new coach. And, you know, you're perpetually in that state of just disrepair and always looking for the next thing. And oftentimes you don't find it.
Mike, I think the Patriots defense has surprised people for better and worse over the last couple of weeks. You know, a performance against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens that left people impressed. And then the pass defense failing to show up against Deshaun Watson. Which one should I expect in another matchup with an athletic QB named Kyler Murray this week?
I think they better come up with a heck of a lot better plan than the one they employed against Deshaun Watson, because the idea of letting Kyler sit there for 5, 6 seconds, you know, it just puts way too much pressure on the defensive secondary, no matter how good you think that secondary is, to ask them to cover receivers for that long. And let's face facts, the receivers that Houston has don't compare, in my opinion, to the receivers that Arizona has. And Arizona won't have Fitzgerald, but Christian Kirk is a pretty phenomenal young talent. And obviously Hopkins is as good as there is in the league. Andy Isabella, someone who runs the 4.240, you know, you're going to be stressed in a variety of areas. I guess if you're a Pats, you're kind of hoping that this shoulder thing that Murray's got going, which appears he's going to be going to play with, is still not, he's not going to be 100%. And maybe that impacts, you know, some of his throws and also his willingness to maybe take off and run because he doesn't want to expose himself to more hits. But if you don't come up with a better plan up front, whether it's your front four or you're going to send extra bodies, you just can't let anybody in this league sit back there for that long. I mean, we're not talking about Blake Bortles here. We're talking about someone who's the number one pick for a reason.
This morning, Fitzy was talking about the fact that you were going to appear with us today, and he was going on and raving about your sartorial splendor. A, I know yours and Taylor Twellman's come from the same place. And B, I'll let you give him a quick plug, because then I'll add to what you're going to say about them anyway.
Nine Taylors. Samantha Shy, I think is how she says her last name. Samantha, if I screwed that up, I apologize. I don't think I ever got your last name. She's just Sam to me. She's wonderful. They do a phenomenal job there. I've been going there for, I don't know, 7, 8 years. Taylor was the one who turned it on to me, and I've stuck with them. They are awesome.
Is it only for twiggies like you and Taylor, or can beefier guys like myself go?
Big boys can go, Andy, although I don't, you know, I mean.
Easy.
You might be better off with just like a potato sack or something.
Easy.
Just throw a bow tie on it.
Easy. Just because the maple whiskey eggnog is in season doesn't mean you have to take shots.
Well, you dipped into the maple eggnog like mid-October, but.
Hey, it was in Shaw's.
By the way, a quick addendum to your story, Mike. Samantha also did my daughter's wedding outfit for next summer.
Oh, nice. See?
At
awesome.
Nine Taylors. And yeah, we went there in large part because of things we'd heard from you and Taylor, but also other people that my daughter had talked to, and we had a great experience there. And I, by the way, already paid for, paid bust out retail, no freebies here or anything. I'm just saying I had a similar situation that you had.
Well, literally one of the nicest human beings I've ever been around. That's Samantha.
Maybe
tremendous.
If Sam wants a challenge, maybe I'll stop by someday.
That would be a challenge.
They got to order more fabric, Andy.
Oh, she's not making a hat.
Well, that too. Mike, we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Mike.
See
you.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, joining us. And I knew... And I haven't seen, I haven't been able to, we've been having a conversation here, haven't been able to keep up on Twitter. Both Bruce Arians and Tom Brady were scheduled to do their Zoom media sessions beginning at 1 today. One would follow the other. We'll try to catch up to date on things that are being reported out of Tampa, of what they're saying, or maybe more importantly even what they're being questioned, because I think it'll be interesting to see how that's being played out. But Mike doesn't think Arians will be the coach there next year.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and I think I feel like he's right. Now, it's how it's played, whether he just retires or whether he's relieved of his duties, as Mike said. You've sold out for Tom Brady, right? You've gone all in. You gave him the guaranteed contract. You went and got AB and Gronk and all this. If the situation isn't working, and I'm not looking to place blame on Arians or Brady, I'm just saying if it's not working, don't you owe it to the team and to the investment you've made to try to make it work? And I feel like that's moving on from Arians.
Although you're moving on from Arians for arguably one more year of Tom Brady.
Right, but Arians came out of retirement too, so how much longer does he have? You know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe I'm kicking him to the curb a year too early, but I'm going in with Brady and a different coach. I'm not saying you have to even leave. Maybe it's Byron Leftwich. Who knows? I just don't. I think you've invested in Brady. You sold out. However you want to term it, you need to finish what you started with Tom Brady.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls. We'll also talk about a sporting event that's taking place this weekend that I wouldn't pay for with Andy Hart's money.
Oh.
It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.